Ball Tales episode 6 is coming along nicely. Thanks for listening, everyone. I couldn't have done this without you. That's not true, I could have. It would just be much more sad than it currently is. My guest this week, the magnificent Darren J. Coles. Darren is one half of one of my favourite sketch groups, The Death Hilarious. If you're thinking, oh, The Death Hilarious, that rings a bell. Have I seen them before? You probably haven't, because you would definitely remember them. Darren is also a writer and producer of web series Donny Be Good, which is worth seeking out if you're listening to this from the future. Here he is chatting about sport with me. Darren J. Coles. Hello.
Yeah, hello, you're that's right. Me.
Is the J important?
I don't know, very important. Yeah. Very important indeed for my spiritual well-being. Do you actually want to know the reason why I dropped the J?
Yeah, I do.
It's a very boring story, so I'll try and keep it short. There was two Darren Coleses in my year. I was, yeah, Darren James. There was another Darren John. The only thing that really bonded us together was every day when I'd see him, I'd go, "Hello, Darren Coles," and he'd go, "Hello, Darren Coles."
Yeah.
Other than that, he was a terminally boring man.
And so after that,
we had exercise books. We were in the same class.
Oh, wow!
So
my goodness.
To distinguish our exercise books, I dropped the J, which looks like a pretentious affectation now.
Yeah, it totally does. Yeah.
But no, I was doing it when I was 12.
When you're 12. So that's a lot less pretentious then.
Yeah. if you start younger,
yeah.
You look like
What's
much
the J
less
stand
of a
for?
James.
James, yeah. It's my middle name as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice one.
That's why I brought you here.
We need to, yeah, there's things we have to discuss.
Yeah, what happened to the other Darren Coles then? Where's he now?
He died in a mysterious chip fat fire. Nothing to do with me, I was out of the country at the time.
Oh, he should have dropped that J, shouldn't he?
He should have
dropped that J, dear me. So, yeah, we're here to talk about the beautiful game.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to have to push you.
It's that book, isn't it, that tells you how to pick up women.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
So, I tend to find, unhook the bra first, before
right.
You've said hello.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just go right in, just get, stick your oar in. You must bring your own oar, that is important.
Okay, I mean, you're close, the answer is actually football.
Football,
yeah, of course. You're talking about our sister podcast that we're yet to launch.
That beautiful game.
Yeah.
Picking up women, dating tips. Well, I'll try and, intersperse this podcast with...
That'd be good, that'd be really helpful for me in the edit if you could do that. Yeah, to make it really easy, easy for me to cut in between. Oh, that's good. Yeah, we're talking about football, but not like, current modern day football.
No,
I'm not interested in that.
I did watch the Wales semi-final the other day with two more seasoned pundits that I knew, and they were actually bits where I felt a stirring of emotion during it.
Oh, wow.
I went when the ball would not go where it was supposed to go,
yeah,
I'd go ooh.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's
and
not
I,
great.
And there was a genuine kind of correlation between that ooh and a kind of feeling inside me. So
wow.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's hope.
Yeah.
Maybe there's hope for me yet.
Well, I think it's probably better being out of this sort of addicted to football emotion that some of us find ourselves in, just torment.
But do you know what? I've got a weird thing where I like watching people watching football.
Okay.
Which is a kind of very postmodern approach to the whole thing.
The spectator,
it's like
spectator
I'm usually sat at a 90 degree angle to other sport fans, watching them celebrating their celebrations and their different emotions
behind like a double mirror.
with a notepad. It's very very studious, very very cold.
Yeah. Okay.
So I like the passion. I really like the passion of football. So
you can't just connect.
I just can't. Yeah, no. I watch it like. I imagine Bill Oddie watches like a woodcock.
yeah, he never goes flying about with them, does he?
No, he doesn't. No,
yeah,
he never joins in with their nesting habits.
Yeah, exactly. Strictly professional.
that's
good. So we have to, we'll have to go through. I think back to the start, just to get to the core of why you don't love it, why you don't see it as beautiful.
Well, I did. I think when I was a young child and felt social integration was very important.
Yeah,
I did pretend to like football.
Yeah.
I can't in the kind of soft focus haze of nostalgia. I'm able to work out whether it was actual enjoyment or a kind of studied enjoyment mimicry.
Just purely.
yeah, just trying to
just
you know.
Picking up on smart certain smiles, gestures, sartorial habits.
Yeah, yeah, like you're an alien that's just
like an alien studying,
and you're
people.
Just here to be like, okay, these guys seem to like this round football.
Yeah, okay, so in order to blend in,
yeah,
I best copy them. But no, I did. I used to support the Liverpool.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, yeah, Liverpool, my team, because all my family are sport obsessives. All
right.
of them. So my dad will watch pretty much any sport. Blood, foot,
yeah,
hand. But
all
no,
the
he'll,
big ones.
Yeah, all the main ones. But my dad will watch any sport. My dad supports Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, okay.
So he's always been like a big Tottenham fan. So I guess like a lot of kind of childhood memories are associated with football and football being on the TV and kind of watching it and then playing it as well. I used to play it a lot in the alleyways as a young gutter snipe.
Yeah,
growing
yeah,
up in
yeah.
the valleys.
So yeah, where did you grow up?
Exactly. I grew up in Beddau.
Yeah.
Which is Welsh for graves, rather appropriately.
Yeah.
It's a place where a lot of people and ambitions die.
Yeah.
I
don't know. You thought, oh, no, I'm not going to die here. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to
yeah.
actually make a start.
I'm going to claw my way out of this
yeah.
grave. I'm not quite past it yet. I'm
yeah.
still 10 years old. I've got a long life ahead of me. Yeah. So I grew up in the valleys, and I think I had more of a difficult relationship with rugby because I was quite.
Yeah.
kind of I was quite overweight and broad shouldered, so I
right.
think I was really pushed to be a rugby player, to be a prop.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
just a sensitive lad who just liked going to the library every day and reading books.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to be in that life, and the kind of the rugby world seemed a lot of a more of a brutal world and a more of a kind of a world I just didn't want to be a part of. Whereas football actually seemed was much more of a laugh and much more approachable for me anyway.
Yeah, it's more cultured, isn't it? Football. It's more.
Yeah,
it's more of a sense of like.
Refined.
Yeah, it's not just like men running at each other.
No,
you know?
It's
like,
it's a lot less homoerotic.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
you'd think would be a reason why I'd want to get into the football.
Yeah.
No, it was a lot less contact involved. That was the main reason
yeah.
why I kept it at arm's length. Is that there was a lot less contact, and obviously I was overweight and I was pretty lazy, so I just went in goal.
Yeah, why is it obvious that you're overweight and you know?
I thought you know the listeners to this podcast probably could maybe able to tell
yeah.
by the kind of sound
the
of my voice, the cadence of my voice. It's like oh, that's it sounds like a you know
a formerly fat man,
a man constantly pining for food.
Yeah,
kind of a whale song.
Yeah, yeah.
I was winning goal. So that was my stock position. And you know what? Actually, I think being a goalie is kind of like if you're more of a thoughtful person.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of the perfect position to be in.
Right,
because
okay.
for me, I remember thinking, well, I'm going to be able to stand around a lot. I remember really hoping, well, great, hope my team's better so they keep the ball at the other
yeah,
end.
Yeah.
So I got to basically stand in between, you know, in a very narrow kind of alleyway.
Well, you've got your own box, haven't you? You've
yeah,
got your own
yeah,
area.
Yeah,
like, no other position has that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You've got your own space to think.
Yeah, just
you know,
collect your thoughts.
Yeah, collect my thoughts and wonder, you know, should I go professional? Shall I slough off this extra 5 stone of weight and maybe do some trials for Crystal Palace or
yeah.
Everton, or shall I just focus on eating, you know, polyunsaturated fats, and sitting in my room.
And there comes a time in every man's life when they have to make that decision. It's Crystal Palace trials,
yeah. or bread sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah.
And then needless to say, I've very much you know stuck my course and decided to go for the unhealthy eating option.
The bread route. Yeah.
But yeah, no, football was always. It just seemed more approachable and there seemed to be less pressure on
yeah.
me. But there was definitely certain memories. There's one memory that sticks in my mind of doing PE. And
so is that your first like football experience then? Was that like PE?
Well, it would have been in the alleyway behind
right.
my house.
Right, okay.
So it was
yeah,
a very
yeah.
narrow alleyway flanked by kind of like garages and like very high walls, and then you know, you'd have five aside, and there was just no pressure. You were just having a laugh, and you were wasting time basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, then I remember distinctly in PE currying favour with some of the rough kids by the fact that I could actually kick the ball quite hard that day.
That day,
I had a really good kicking leg on me.
Oh, that's good.
And
yeah.
I definitely remember not wearing the appropriate footwear. I was wearing my kicker's shoes
yeah.
that I wore because I forgot my trainers. So I couldn't
oh.
be bothered to put them in my bag. So I remember thinking, maybe it's maybe it's the shoes, maybe it's the kicker's
like
shoes.
You just suddenly brought some flubber with you that day.
it's like Williams Wish Wellingtons, Colsey's kickers, suddenly, imbued with like a magical property. And I remember like just slamming the ball to the other end of the field. And all the rough kids, I think it was Bryn Evans and Nathan Davis, going, fucking hell, man, you can belt it. And me just going, well, you know, sometimes some of us just got it, Nathan,
some of us
ain't.
Thanks for playing, chaps. Good game. Nice to see you.
And it was, I remember, like, there was kind of, it was a feeling of, like, validation. I remember thinking, you know what, if I need someone's head kicked in the future, I can call upon these boys and say, guys, remember how far I managed to punt it down the red grass. So that was,
that's another clue as to what happened to the other Darren Coles as well. The gruff boys
kicked him into an early grave.
To the other end of the
field. But then again, it was, even that got too competitive for me.
It became about kicking it further.
It became, I'd set the bar high. And then, you know, eventually I was kicking it out of the pitch and they said, Darren, we're going to have to drop you from the team, you're ruining the game.
You've got no concept of what a touchline is.
You need to get in this small net. This is part of the rules. But again, I was more into as well the kind of the pageantry of it. So like the stickers, all stickers.
Of course,
that coveted Man United foily. You know, to this day, I sort of get chills if I, you know.
So which year is this? What, like?
Would have been 97.
Okay.
So I would have been about 11.
Yeah,
10, 11.
This is like, this is Premier League football stickers.
This is
no like non-league football stickers.
No. This is
The hard stuff.
Yeah, this is the hard. Very much the crystal meth of football collection stickers.
Yeah.
And, that Man United the foilies, the kit. I never had my own kit.
No.
Cameron.
I mean, you're supposed to have like a kit with the rest of the players. You're meant to have a team kit. You don't just get your own one designed especially.
Well, I would, I think sequins are woefully lacking for football.
Exactly, yeah.
To design your own kit, I think...
you just turn up thinking, like, why are they wearing the same as me?
I want to be an individual.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I want to really stand out. I don't want to be just, you know...
Yeah, they're just going to think I'm with them.
With these other drones,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I want to have something, you know, maybe a nice off-the-shoulder number.
Yeah.
I don't want you to see my pale, fleshy legs.
No.
I want it all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah, nice onesie. Maybe low cut, you know?
Very long V-neck. Show a bit of early, you know, prepubescent chest hair.
Drawn on.
Yeah.
The occasion.
Yeah.
Like, the date and time of the match.
And I was mainly, I liked the gear. And again, you know, family were big sports fanatics. I would, again, it was a way to kind of try and not seem so much like the black sheep of the family, you know, the one who was into, like, you know, just reading and watching telly and watching incessant
exactly,
TV.
So you go undercover as a sportsman.
I'd go undercover, and I'd, you know, I'd learned all the chants.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly gone now from memory. I had to make room for James Joyce's Ulysses.
Of course.
I do remember like sitting around and kind of just trying to integrate.
What was your sort of into the teams then? Like, who were your friends that were sort of friends into football?
Pretty much everyone who lived in the street, you know, they all liked football.
Had a bit of game.
And my brother was a huge Man United fan.
Right.
Like, he had, his room was, you know, a Man United showroom, basically. He had the wallpaper, he had the bed sheets,
wow.
He had the posters of Beckham on the wall. Yeah, he was a huge football fan.
Is he older brother?
He was younger, he was 27.
Alright, okay.
And I'm 30.
Yeah.
Just to establish.
He's 27 at the time.
Yes, he was younger. I'm 24, he's 27. How does that work?
I don't know. I don't know how old he was at the time.
But I remember being upset, and I remember being obsessed with aggregates. Couldn't understand how aggregate works.
Well, like a two-legged game. I might be educating you now.
Yeah, you are. This is
an aggregate. Away goals, have you ever been told about that?
No, I didn't. That's the thing. There was a lot of things I didn't understand.
Ah, the aggregates. Yeah, usually in a European game.
Europe is
Europe is the thing we've just left.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, the majority of the country, because the customer is always right.
And this is to do with football.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's why Wales have been knocked out at the semi-final stage.
Because we decided it's the best.
It's the best.
Right. Thing. That all makes sense now. Yeah. So Boris Johnson, he was the manager of the England team.
He was the striker.
Okay. The main. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And because he seems physically very, very unfit. Very not.
Yeah,
not adapted for the job.
It's what makes him so good.
Yeah,
it's
a kind of counterintuitive thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to check some of those facts, but
I'm fully on board. I 100% believe everything you say.
Yeah, I mean, if any of this is wrong, I'll edit it straight out.
Of course.
Clean out. I'm a very, very good editor.
Yeah, and but he, I didn't understand. Yeah, I didn't understand what, and I still don't.
Yeah,
I mean, you've not clarified anything for me, Cameron.
Well, just don't score away goals. They're dangerous. They make it all complicated.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Keep it at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep it. Close the borders.
Yeah.
Keep it in. Keep the goals just in your back garden.
We just want Britain to be about British.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
Close down the Premier League. Let's stop trading with other things. Yeah. You know, with other countries.
So that part of this like integration you had in terms of, did you sort of study the, you know, the top level players? Did you model yourself on any of the big boys?
I was just. I've got a soft spot on my heart for Ian Rush.
Yeah?
Yeah, Ian Rush, he had a really lovely, he had a very hearty moustache.
He did.
It was very thick.
Very of its time.
Very of its time, you know. It's back in the day where, you know, there was phases in, like, short length. Where are we now in terms of short length? We're back to the long draws?
I think, we're talking quite long draws. I think there's a lot more acceptance going on.
I remember then... You know, maybe back when I was into football, it was kind of short shorts, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of, I remember, would it be kind of Gazza era?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like Gary Lineker, when that, like, that was when the shorts got really small.
Yeah. I mean, we've later found out that Gazza is mentally ill. So that fashion trend may have been started by...
He was just improvising.
Yeah.
You know, he was just accessorising.
Yeah.
I always questioned the handbag.
Yeah.
And the large helmet made out of tinfoil.
Yeah, yeah, and the fishing rod.
And the fishing...
Yeah, that he really put onto the pitch.
Yeah.
But
he just thought,
someone's
going to need this one day. Someone in a wood, you know, camped out in a wooded area with a rifle. You're going to need my help. But yeah, no, I saw it. Ian Rush, I was a soft spot for Ian Rush because he was always very. What's happened to Ian Rush now? What does he do?
Ian Rush now, I think he's occasionally a pundit. Sometimes he might just you know.
Well, they kind of that's. I mean, that's your only.
It's your standard
career
route,
progression. Really,
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
It?
Is pretty
that,
much.
Can you talk about football? Well, yeah, I played it for most of my professional life. Okay, good. You're
exactly.
In.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Ryan Giggs was another one.
Yeah.
Ryan
Giggs.
He was
popular
on
the podcast. Being Welsh, I think helps.
Yeah,
you
know. But I've been told lately that he's a He didn't deliver.
He didn't deliver?
Yeah, he used to, you know, he's have a lot of, he didn't deliver for Wales.
That's true, yeah.
So I was told.
Wouldn't turn up a lot of the time.
Yeah, so, but I remember he was like the wilderness years for Welsh football.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of when I grew up and everyone would say, yeah, Wales is, you know, Wales are terrible at football.
Yeah.
But Giggs seemed to be a kind of totemic figure for the failure of Welsh football.
Exactly, yeah, he was like the sort of the cult leader. Like trying to drag him through, everyone's like, "Yeah,
yeah,
you know, can't beat you, great leader."
No, yeah, yeah, but Ryan Giggs was another one. Bruce Grobbelaar.
Bruce Grobbelaar.
Love Bruce. You know,
great name.
Very, you know, very much. Again, you didn't show that you didn't necessarily have to be in peak physical condition to be a professional goalkeeper.
Exactly. Yeah, and obviously that's your position. So you're sort of.
And
yeah.
I remember seeing like a VT. It must have been on Match of the Day or something.
Yeah.
And they were all these young lads were all queuing up and trying to score goals against him, and he was very much like, okay guys, professional football is a hard game, you know, it's a hard route. You've got to be, you know, you've got to be physically fit, you've got to make sure your diet's correct. And he was saying all this, and then these lads proceeded to absolutely annihilate him by scoring goal after goal after goal, and you could hear him wheezing and getting out of breath and going, okay boys, let's just take five.
Do you think he was saying that opening speech more for himself? Like, remember guys, you really let yourself down today and your career's getting down the toilet.
Yeah, he called every one of those kids Bruce. You go, come on, Bruce, come on, you've got it. My name's Trevor. No.
Yeah.
Bruce, you're really letting yourself down, your family down, but importantly, your country.
Yeah, yeah, come on, Grobbelaar.
And Grobbelaar had a good moustache as well, which I know. So, yeah, Grobbelaar, Schmeichel, again, very Germanic.
Yeah.
Aryan.
And he was Danish, but, you know.
Was he?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But it didn't stop him being Germanic.
No,
in
my...
He was.
Again,
yeah.
I was artistic license, Cameron, you know. I was drawing on... I was. taking what I had and I was just elaborating on it, making, you know, creating fictional stories for every player.
Yeah.
But again, they sort of they stood for something.
Yeah, yeah. They're both quite sort of eccentric keepers, I'd say.
Were they really?
Yeah, I think like Grobbelaar famous for a penalty shootout where he was just sort of wobbling his legs about to put off the strikers, and like I think Liverpool won the European Cup or something because he was
almost
just
like
going wavy
arms. Almost like a zebra in like the undergrowth, those kind of stripes trying to kind of just kind of trying to disrupt your depth of field.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like praised for this, but again, maybe it was just part of his breakdown. Maybe it was just like he couldn't stand still.
The knock knees thing is like, oh, they're going for the old Grobbelaar knock knee tactic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The old Grobbelaar, you know, hugging, you know, rocking back and forth in the fetal position.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, somewhere in the goal box.
Yeah, exactly. He's a ball magnet. It's like, no, he's just unlucky. They just keep hitting him.
Yeah.
He can't
he's
catch
mentally
a break.
Ill. We need to get him off the pitch now.
Exactly.
He needs
yeah.
to be replaced.
I'd say, yeah, he was an eccentric keeper. Like, obviously, people listen to this, you're part of a sketch group, they would have seen you perform. You're obviously famously quite a reserved, quiet performer.
I'm very conservative on stage.
Yeah, exactly. So you like to hold all that back. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah, that you took
these
eccentric.
I think lately, I do like the more, like what's that guy from? Brian Clough.
Oh yeah,
I like watching Brian Clough interviews now.
Yeah,
because again, he was because I watched The Damned United, I think.
Yeah,
and
that's
once I've seen that, I was like, you know, I kind of if I was a football fan now, I'd be slightly jaded by how corporate everything's become.
Yeah,
you know what
completely.
I mean, I kind of pine for the day where you'd be like a plumber, you know, you'd be on the pitch, you know, of a weekend. But then on a weekday, you'd go back to your plumbing job.
Without any media training.
Yeah, there'd be no
yeah.
media training and you wouldn't be earning extortionate amounts of money. You know,
yeah.
you just played for your local club. And I think I would prefer it if things were still, you know, you'd have local players playing for their local team. I think that would be the thing that again, it's about kind of football as social integration or film as a kind of yoking a community together.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than this kind of, basically a kind of, you know, highest bidder can basically buy the best team, isn't that?
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's. Yeah, it's international. It's completely. There's no.
But I mean, how do you stand as a much more diehard football fan?
As a current football fan, I don't know. It's all I've really known. Like in terms of, it's always been, you know, local players now. Like you'll get one every sort of 5 years playing for like the current team. Like,
but no, I'm going to take a pay cut.
And then even if they're terrible,
I want to play for Wigan. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. Like even if they're terrible, you latch onto them. Like there's a player for Arsenal called Carl Jenkinson, who's like a proper like London Arsenal boy. And like in interviews, he'll always, you know, talk about it. You know, he's not the worst player in the world, but he's by no means, you know, he's had some pretty howling games and had a lot of forgiveness. Like if he was some Johnny Foreigner, there'd be a lot more Cockney losing their rag with this
yeah.
guy.
A lot more street beatings.
Yeah, but because he had, you know, he had the duvet and he had the most
yeah.
on his wall.
It's
like, oh,
he's
all right.
He's a local lad, let's give him a chance.
Yeah.
Let's give him another chance.
I mean, he smashed it into our net twice, but, you know, let's give him a go. Yeah.
Face the right way, Carl.
Yeah, he's got his heart on his sleeve, that's the
thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He's got passion.
Yeah, he's got passion. And his mum used to run the local corner shop that we used to buy our fags from, so, you know.
Yeah,
you know, credit where credit's due, or you know, undeserved credit.
Yeah,
credit
yeah, yeah.
where credit's undeserved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would be the kind.
It would be better. Yeah. There's been, you know, it's completely
yeah
not what it used to be. But yeah, I do have another question. I'm just looking for it now. This will be edited out, like definitely.
No, can you edit all the funny bits
the
and keep the ums and ahs in?
Yeah.
A series of ums and ahs.
Yeah.
I mean, I very much think that ums and ahs kind of sums up my football knowledge.
What would you say your weaknesses would be on the pitch, you know, back in the day? You're in goal, what sort of keeper? You're like a commanding
I think stamina.
Keeper? Stamina.
Stamina would be very difficult.
Yeah.
I think
is that like concentration, you know, being in goal or
yeah, concentrate, my mind would wander.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd end up I think I'd be found tangled in the net like a trout. And the coach would have to cut me out.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think concentration would be a hard one. I'm trying to think of... Back then, stamina was a real difficult one. I'd find my heart beating very hard in my chest. And I'd think, you know what? This just ain't worth the goals.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like I'm pushing myself way too hard. I haven't had, you know, I haven't had a sandwich in over an hour.
Yeah, that's the difficulty.
So I'm going to have to run indoors and have like a Billy Beer meat. You know, just quickly, just throw, you know, just chow that down and then, you know, and then maybe I might be able to put in an extra...
Two dives.
Yeah.
You get paid by the dive. That's
how that's the game I'm striving for.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think... I think weaknesses would be... I think I could be a good manager, actually. I think tactics would be my...
That's interesting. Yeah, and I guess from the goalkeeper position, you've got, like, you know, you've got the whole pitch ahead of you to see, you know, apart from when you're picking the ball out of your net and getting tangled up.
Yeah, but I think I'd be, you know, I think I could delegate very well.
Yeah, in the sort of Brian Clough sort of...
Yeah, very much, you know, I would, because you realise you can't be too heavy-handed with these boys, you know what I mean?
Especially these modern day,
prima donnas, you know, like when I was watching the match the other day and I was looking at Ronaldo and it seemed to me that he's a great headerer, you know, he's a fantastic headerer, but I'd be like, look, you know, you've got to make sure you're giving the ball to your teammates a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not, you know, you're not the star of the show. This is, you know, this is an ensemble piece. You know, you want to put in a good performance. You know, maybe lose the tags in your hair as well.
Yeah, a lot of mad hair.
Well, I've heard that that's for some kid who had a brain tumor or something. He shaved that into his head. I mean, I'm sure
solidarity.
Maybe because he's got scarring.
Yeah,
scarring around his head. Maybe Ronaldo goes, you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I'm with you, brother.
I'm not thinking straight either. We're all here together.
Yeah.
I know Ronaldo is a big listener of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Be careful.
Well, then in that case, then I think, you know, sexy guy, great buns on the pitch. He's like a whippet, isn't he?
He is.
He's like a whippet.
Yeah, I could see, just even hearing you speak now, yes, you would be a great manager.
Yeah, definitely when I'm commenting on, you know, which hairstyle you should opt for.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm prioritising. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I'm prioritising.
Over substance, and not enough people are doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think tactics would be where I'd really... I'd come into my own.
Yeah, so what, you know, what went wrong? Why are you not now a professional footballer earning the big bucks?
I think my core went to shit.
Really?
The kind of midriff area.
Why did you let that happen?
I think it was somewhere during the early noughties.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, do you remember when chocolate covered Doritos really became very popular?
I genuinely don't.
Really?
Was this an actual thing?
I think this is, shows the age difference between us. I remember a time when, you can only find them in kind of... either airport waiting lounges or
dodgy men's coats.
At the bottom of like a hold all in a lost property.
Yeah, just
a train station
under an ex.
Yeah, yeah, buried under the dead body of an ex girlfriend. A lot of chocolate, I think.
Wow,
my food habits are very like I still find it very difficult to keep a lid on that. So that for me, I think dietary habits. I always say I pretty much stopped pretending to like football when I was about, probably when I got to comprehensive, when I was about 11. I thought, you know what, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
I've not got the vested interest.
Can't keep this ruse up any longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, I was much more focused on, you know, doodling. I wanted to become a satirical cartoonist at one point.
At the age of 11.
I definitely remember there was, I was sitting...
This John Major needs to be taken down a peg or two.
I think it's about time this 12-year-old needs to become militarised. We need to galvanise ourselves and we need to... No, it would have been Tony Blair at that point. I could send, you know, there's all this... I mean, Chilcot's cottoned on now.
Yeah.
But I was writing a little dossier of my own.
And we very much await the release of that. It should be any day now, right?
Yeah.
Longer than the Bible,
My findings. I mean, a lot of it is unintelligible.
Yeah.
You know, once you're dealing with, you know, geopolitics, I mean, it's like quantum physics. Apparently, if you understand it, then you don't understand it. Really.
Wow, that's interesting.
So same goes for childish political satire. But yeah, I do remember thinking I want to become a satirical cartoonist. And I remember writing, doing a doodle around the time when BSE was all the rage.
Right.
BSE was really becoming popular.
Yeah.
And writing a little, it was a doodle of a man, a soldier lying in the dirt, and then another soldier next to him. But they were politicians, and they were trying to shoot a cow. It was very, it was very rudimentary, Cameron.
Yeah.
But you know, this was the starting block and the finishing block for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, for your football career,
for
you
my
just like
football
you found
and
a different
satirical cartoonist career. They ended roughly the same time.
one.
Yeah. So I just. Yeah, it was just lack of interest and physical fitness. I mean, my body was all, you know, my body is my, you know, my prison.
Yeah, my body is a cage.
Yeah. And you know, you need a much bigger surface area to play a decent you know, 90 minute game of two halves.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Like, I've got some quick fire questions that I haven't had to use. So usually, you know, all the previous guests are just slumps after 2 minutes. My God, let me get to my material.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to drop them in there.
Yeah, lay them on me.
Halftime oranges, yes or no?
Yes, I think round fruit is very important that the fruit corresponds to the ball shape.
Okay. Halftime Jaffa cakes, yes or no?
Again, they've got the width and length, but not the depth.
Yeah.
I think orange is much more suitable in that respect. Now, I think a Revel,
mm-hmm.
that would be
that's
that
interesting.
Would be,
that's a new suggestion. That's
yeah,
a, that's a
yeah.
new question for future guests.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, do you wear the socks above or below the knee?
I would say above, because I'm a fan of the ladies' tights.
Yeah.
So
I want to
replicate that as closely as possible. So definitely, you know, more towards the groin probably, if I could hike them up that high.
Yeah, even stronger. Yeah, just take them off the foot if need be. Just rip a hole in them.
Yeah.
Just like...
I'd rather a naked toe and a covered knee.
If you're wearing the Coles kickers, like,
yeah.
Please.
If I'm wearing the Coles kickers, you don't want to
get socks in the way.
Impede that flow.
No, absolutely not. Okay, that's good. We've got them out of the way. Good. Well, yeah, you know, you may have may already know this by now, but the real reason I brought you here is not just for me to chat about football. It's because I'm building a team.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm building the team.
Okay.
It's, you know, the team is made up of guests on this podcast.
Good.
So at the moment, I'm going to tell you where this team is. So we've got James Dunn in defensive midfield. He's sitting there in the sort of Andrea Pirlo role he's gone with. And then we've got behind him, we've got Sarah Breeze is playing right back, just running up and down the flanks.
Yeah,
I can see that. We've got Matt Rowe and Dan Kiss as a centre back pairing. So they're sort of holding the forward defence, and we've got the young whippersnapper Matt Lee is a little he's a comedy actor. He's playing up front.
Okay,
he's going to be the striker of the pitch. Where do you fit into this team?
I mean, do I have to be one of the 11, or is there more managerial role?
No, I'm the manager. I'm
right,
the
okay.
shots on this. Mm. So you need to be on the pitch.
I need to be on the.
And it sounds like you've got the goalkeeping experience.
I think.
You know, paired down.
I think, you know, I mean. If you want me to up my eating in order to fill that goal bodily,
I do. I want you to be.
Then I'll take it for the team.
Yeah, some
you know?
Sort of like intangible rectangular mass that just sort of covers
kind of amorphous blob.
Yeah,
with a face and thigh high socks.
Yeah, we've got like the sort of sixth official on the touchline, just checking that you're alive at all times.
Yeah,
like
and weighing me constantly.
Yeah,
just to make sure that I'm at, you know, I'm north of 50 stone.
Yeah.
Goalie. Pop me in goal.
Straight in.
Pop me in goal, mate. And, you know, I'm just really, really happy that you picked me, because, you know,
that's
I have
good.
Issues with not being picked for school teams.
Yeah,
so.
No, you're absolutely in. You're number one as well. Number one on
number
your back.
Number one.
You can have your own kit. This is, yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, normally,
it
you
really,
know.
Like, thanks, mate.
That's right, mate. That's
no,
okay.
It means a lot. It does mean a lot.
Yeah.
After all these years, it really.
Yeah. And that should be the end of it, you know, that should be a happy ending. That should be.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. It really
is
a kind of mixture of things, you know, it's kind of like a lot of like kind of repressed kind of stuff coming out right
yeah,
now. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
You should have heard the confessions I've seen on the previous. So much editing. The cutting room floor is just full of filth.
I mean, that's a whole other podcast.
It is, yeah. And also blackmail. So.
Yeah.
Money
cross pollination.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, so that, you know, that should be the end of it, except there's one more issue to decide. Who's going to be captain of this team? And why should you be captain of this team?
I think I should be captain because I don't necessarily think it's how much you know about football,
mm-hmm.
or how much you know about tactics,
mm-hmm.
or skill sets.
Yeah.
Or I think it's how good you look on the pitch.
Yeah, okay.
And I think I'm going to cut a pretty a pretty mean figure in kind of a silver glittery tights. A kind of, I imagine, like, again, like a kind of, like a kind of sequined, kind of non-gender specific,
yeah,
kind of robe.
Very progressive kit.
Very progressive kit. You know, yeah, again, I don't like bisected clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a kind of skirt, kind of, as but as it goes up, then it goes into a kind of, maybe a more of a military cut, shoulder pads.
Yeah.
See, maybe a series of badges, mm-hmm. like on the front, like on the lapels, maybe. And then, like, you know, a bit of nail varnish.
Yeah.
Can never go amiss on the pitch.
That's good. And obviously, as captain, you lead the players out. And you know, if you were wearing all that and you weren't leading the players out, it would look like a mistake. And
yeah.
You know,
if I was like you know, say, you know, number nine or whatever, you know, it wouldn't make sense. I have to be up front, very much a kind of the figurehead,
the face of the company,
Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, that's the very reason why I should be the captain.
And, I mean, the current captain of the team is Matt Lee. Is our striker.
I don't know Matt Lee.
You don't, but
has
I'm
he
gonna
got
go
any criminal convictions?
No, well, not that I know of. None that he disclosed on the edit of the podcast that's going out. Anyway,
right,
yeah. There's plenty of others. Heard enough. Congratulations. Captain of the team.
Thanks very much. I mean, it's been a long time coming, but I'm pretty pleased.
Yeah, well, goalkeeper as well. Hopefully you'll be captain by the end of the series. I mean, long-term listeners will know.
Could we change captain to Admiral?
Admiral. As you're the captain, yes, we can.
Thanks very much. I'm the
Admiral
of this team now.
Congratulations.
And yeah, great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Darren J. Cole's there. He's a keeper. Get subscribing. Share this lovely podcast. If you made it this far, it must be worth something, right? You know, monetarily. Even, you know, tell your friends, let's just see how far this mad thing can go. Cool. Till next time.